The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hey there, classmates. Tune in to Middle Class Film Class every Monday and Wednesday for weekly movie news, streaming picks, and one deep dive review.
The Batman trailer. There was a teaser. There was a trailer. Trailer 1, trailer 2, final trailer. I don't know if it's the same one. How many trailers do we need?
Exactly.
Leave an email or a voicemail to join in the discussion.
Bullshit artist!
Yeah, buddy.
All right. You're going full Danzig.
Right, I am. My trans gear
has no power over me.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 352. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this episode of the PVD Cast. It's my favorite time of year because NHL hockey is back, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, the season kicked off earlier this week on Tuesday, and you know, with a new season, that can only mean one thing, that it's time for my guest, Luke Landry, to come on the PVD Cast, and he and I are going to talk all about the upcoming season. And even though the season started just a couple days ago, I don't think we've really, you know, missed much, and I don't think it's really going to impact what we're going to talk about, because we're going to run down all of the trades, all of the free agent signings, all of the news, all of our predictions for the upcoming season. We're going to cover the NHL from all different angles. I always look forward to this episode, and I hope that you enjoy it as well. But before we get into that conversation with Luke, I do want to talk about, real quickly, CXC. That's right, this past weekend was the Cartoon Crossroads Columbus Festival, of which a couple weeks ago you heard Jay Kalagayan come on and talk all about that festival. And I went down both on Wednesday and on Sunday. Wednesday was the kickoff gala, I guess you can call it, in which myself, Jeremy Colley from the Canned Air podcast were there. We ran into, of course, friend of the show, Jack Wallace, who was down there. And we had a really good time, and it was really cool checking out some old 1930s animation. Vincent Alexander is a historian. He's also an artist. He's also, I think, a teacher as well. I guess you could say he presented this film festival, if you will, of old-timey cartoons. I learned a lot. It was really cool. And then Sunday, I went on over to the downtown library here in Columbus, Ohio. Ran into a bunch of other folks too. Bob Corby, Sean Forney, Steve Steiner, Jack Wallace again, Ken Epstein, Brian Canini. I know there's a few other folks I'm probably forgetting, and I do apologize, but it was really cool. I got some great content, which I will be dropping hopefully next week. And you know what? Speaking of content, I have some awesome content from September and the Monroe Pop Fest, and I will be dropping that both as an audio format as well as a video format here in the next few weeks, actually probably looking at the end of October, early November for the audio, and probably December looking for the video versions of that content. So got a lot going on, so I'm going to take just a few moments here to remind you that this episode is brought to you by World's Greatest Comics. They are located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they have tons of comics from every era, whether you're talking gold, silver, bronze, or even the modern era. They also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. They've got some great collectibles. They got you covered, man, especially if you need a comic book store to call your own. So I've already told you the address, but stop by the store. But if you want to check them out online, you can do that as well. Their website is wgcomics.com, and they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WG Comics. All right, with that out of the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear Luke Landry and I dissect the upcoming NHL season. Ladies and gentlemen, I am sitting down this evening with Mr. Luke Landry because it is time to talk some hockey. Luke, how you been, man?
Been great. It's nice to start talking about hockey at the beginning of October instead of, you know, January or July. Or it's nice. We actually get a real season and a real season start. It's been a while.
It has. And hopefully we'll hear less and less that this player, that player is out for COVID protocol.
Yeah, well, at least everything with regards to COVID has gotten a lot shorter. So if something happens, I mean, typically they're out for 3, 4, maybe 5 days max. So that's at least that's a plus.
That is a plus. Very much so.
That stuff is starting to be behind us finally.
And we're off and running. I guess technically the season already started because there was a couple of games over in Europe, part of the global series.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot about those.
Yeah, I did too. I don't know. Number one, I don't know that the teams that were involved garnered a lot of attention. I mean, with all due respect to Nashville and San Jose, it's not like it's the Flyers and the Rangers or, you know, one of those rivalry games. But yeah,
the only news that I heard about it was that they didn't want Russian players to play.
Yes.
And is it, who's the new GM in San Jose? I forgot.
Mike Greer.
Yeah. And he said, if we're cutting out some of the players, then nobody's going. Mm-hmm. And that's like the only thing I heard. And I didn't even notice that the start of the season, it could have been in November. And
they have another set of global series in November, I believe.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, and that's proof again that this whole pandemic stuff is starting to be behind us. Cause I mean, 18 months ago, we couldn't even cross the border between, you know, Canada and the US. And now it's like, fine, you know, go play in Prague. It's not an issue anymore. Go play in London. Go and play. Yeah.
So, but the season actually kicks off on Tuesday, the 11th. I believe there's two games. And then we get a full slate of games on the 12th. And for everyone listening at home, we are recording this Sunday night, the 9th. So I don't think too much is going to happen between now and when this episode drops on Thursday. I doubt that there will be because, my Lord, there's been so much going on this summer, Luke. I don't even know where to begin. Maybe let's start talking about the Calgary Flames. Let's start with them since they seem to be just involved in all kinds of transactions. Johnny Gaudreau being shuttled out to Columbus. Matthew Tkachuk being shuttled off to Florida. They did get back Jonathan Huberdeau, Mackenzie Weegar, and then added Nazem Kadri. What do you think about the shakeup in Calgary?
I think it's going to be interesting because, I mean, they're all good players, but they're all so different. I mean, you're going to get a bit of grit between Kadri and Tkachuk would give you, but, I mean, they're so different, but they're all top NHLers. I mean, it was – and I think last week or so, Calgary signed Weegar to, like, an 8-year extension. So not only did they go get – some top players, they've been able to lock them in for a long time. They did the same thing with Huberdeau. They did the same thing with Kadri. So, I mean, they're shaking up to have a solid core for a lot of years. Now, it's just, you know, how are they going to play under Sutter? That's always, like, the big question. But they seem to be building the team a little bit around Sutter, which is interesting. They're trying to get players that really respond well to coaching. But, you don't see that often. You know, you'll see good players leave, and teams are just trying to scramble to get a couple of pieces here and there. I mean, in this case, it's like top tier players back and forth. It's nuts.
Actually, I sat down and while doing some research and checked out the stats. I mean, Johnny Gaudreau last year 40 goals. I forget how many assists. 75 assists. Yeah, 75 assists. Huberdeau has 30 goals and 85 assists. So it's kind of a wash. I mean, I think Huberdeau is not as fast and quick and as agile as Gaudreau, but the stats are there to say pretty comparable.
Yeah. He's bigger, he's stronger, you know? So it's like,
Yeah. And when you look at Tkachuk, 42 goals, 62 assists. I mean, Kadri and Uyghur combined doesn't get you, gets you up into like the mid 30s. So that might be, you know, with secondary scoring, that might be a little bit of a hitch to the Flames. But I feel the Flames are not that bad off after all of this movement of their two best players.
Yeah, and the question, I mean, you have three guys who just signed with the team. Mm-hmm. So technically they want to be there.
Yeah.
Whereas,
absolutely.
You know, you had two guys, Kachuk was already saying, if Johnny is not staying, I'm not staying. So as soon as John Gaudreau went off, it was like, well, we know we can't sign this guy. He said he didn't want to. Let's just try to get rid of him now.
And
so you have three guys who want to play there.
Right, right. And Uyghur's a great young defenseman. I think, you know, obviously locking him up for what, 7, 8 years? Is it 7 years or 8 years? I don't remember. I think it's eight.
I think
actually.
We locked him up for eight. Eight.
Yeah.
And he still has at least a year to go. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that is a bright spot for Calgary. So it's interesting from that aspect. And now let's look at what Johnny Gaudreau's coming to here in Columbus. I think that he automatically becomes the pinnacle of what they're doing in this franchise, or with this franchise, I should say. Look, I think Columbus is pretty solid in their first three lines. Goaltending's okay. I just question the defense. The defense is still not, even though they got Eric Gabranson from Calgary as well, I just think out of the top two, you know, that third defenseman, that fifth defenseman, that fourth defenseman, that sixth defenseman's a little shaky.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I always question when you decide to do a reset or a rebuild or whatever you want to call it. I mean, Seth Jones, I mean, 5 years down the road, he's still going to be a top defenseman in the league. So yeah. I get that you're going to trade him, you're going to get some assets, but at the end of the day, you know, you figure you're going to be rebuilding. Well, the guy's still going to be pretty good 5 years down the road. So you really want to suffer, and I mean, it seems to be harder and harder to get some solid two-way defensemen nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you really want to just trade that away, and then I always sort of question that. It's like you can keep some pieces, but Chicago is an example. I mean, they're liquidating everything. The Brinkat, I mean, seriously, you got a franchise player right there. You got rid of him? I don't get. I get that you want to start and you want to get draft picks and everything, but I mean, sometimes it's just like he's a really good kid and he's going to be around for a really long time, and you just like almost gave him away because you don't know what those picks are going to give you in the end. So there's parts there that I don't understand.
Is Chicago tanking on purpose? Because as we know, you know, Connor Bernard, there's a lot that's been said and reported, and obviously that guy is uber talented. But are they tanking on purpose?
It looks like, I mean, what do they have left?
No, I mean, they got Kane and Taze, Seth Jones, and that's it. And
you can probably figure that those three are pretty pissed off right now.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm pretty sure that Jones didn't decide to sign there, you know, with all of this in mind, and pretty sure that Taze and Kane had other, you know, other visions of how their careers were going to end. So, and I remember reading, I think Jonathan Taves, it was an interview, and he was genuinely pissed off that the Brinkat was traded away. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's not going to be a fun year in Chicago, not at all.
No.
But
no.
Again, that's the other thing. Okay, you've gotten rid of everybody. You're aiming for a chance to have the top pick. You're not even sure. Even if you finish dead last, you're not even sure to have the top pick. And even if you get the top pick, you really want to bring a kid into that team right now?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's always like, you got to have plans. I mean, it took a while in Washington before they figured out, okay, we got to get a couple of guys around Ovechkin to, you know, really show him the ropes in the NHL. And when that finally happened, he got a lot better. So I don't know, man. I mean, tanking on purpose, yeah, but jeez.
Well, I will say this. At least I will give credit to the Chicago Blackhawks. At least that they are not out there. At least I have not read this or heard this, but at least they're not out there like Fletcher in Philadelphia saying that we're going to be competitive. Are you high? There's no way the Flyers are going to be competitive this year. They have no one. I mean, seriously,
no.
I mean, they traded away everybody. They got rid of Gaspierre, and then they got rid of Nolan Patrick. I think who is it that's out now? Couturier is out for a while. Who do they have besides Ristolainen? Tortorella. Yeah, Tortorella. That's right. He's gonna fix it all.
Whoever's left and your good player is probably gonna be gone in 3 years or so because they can't. They won't be able to stand Tortorella. One of my buddies, he's a big fan of the Flyers, and I've been annoying him. He's like, are you guys going to be better or worse than Buffalo this year? Well, some of the Habs don't look that bad, do they? So, yeah, we'll see. But that, I feel like the Flyers are the perfect example of why you don't want to finish that close to the playoffs year after year. Mm-hmm. If you're not creative in any way, you're just getting okay draft picks. You're getting okay seasons. Like every 2 years, they've made the playoffs or something like that. But I mean, basically, your team's just not going anywhere. They've been at the same spot, seems like, for 10, 12 years now.
And the other thing that came out with Gaudreau, they were actively wanting to get Johnny Gaudreau, but couldn't afford him because these giant contracts that they have pinned them up against the cap, and they did not have money for him.
Yeah. And I mean, you just said they have a pretty bad team and no cap space.
Right.
That's a really shitty situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look at San Jose. I mean, San Jose has, I forget how many folks that are in that $6-8 million a year. Or, you know, they're locked up for that.
No, Carlson contract hurts a lot.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it does.
You couldn't guess that the guy was going to be injured as much and that it would have, you know, that much of a toll in his game. But, I mean, that's a hard contract to just fly around there. And he's not giving you everything that he should be. And you got to be careful with those contracts, man. Mm-hmm. Really. And the whole pandemic really messed that thing up as well. I mean, if you're aiming, okay, I'm going to lock this guy in for 8 years, hoping that every year we're going to be earning like a million or two on cap space, and it doesn't happen. So I'm curious to see this summer, because now they're projecting like almost a 10 million increase in the next 2 years or something like that. Okay. How much teams are going to go crazy with the big contracts. Yeah. Because again, it's just a projection. It might not happen.
Right.
And
you
know, you go out and you spend money on guys, it's gonna cost you.
Well, let's talk here about two topics that I've been waiting and waiting and waiting to talk to you about. First of all, let's talk about Montreal. So they added a few pieces. What's your take on those pieces that they added?
It's gonna be interesting to see, because I can't remember the last time where they had so much potential up front and so little potential in the back end. Kirby Dach, still young. You're not too sure. Then you have Suzuki, Caulfield. You know, that should be interesting. Dvorak, he had a pretty decent end of the season, so it'd be fun to see if he keeps on going that way or if we're going to see the Dvorak that we saw at the beginning of the year last year. And who am I forgetting?
You're forgetting
Sean Monahan.
Yeah, and then Matheson. Matheson. Did you guys
Matheson,
get
Mike Matheson?
Yeah.
Yeah, Matheson, I think it's okay. If the issue is going to be with him, much like with Savard, they're going to be in seats that they're not that comfortable in. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about number three, number four defensemen, maybe even number five, and they're going to be like top two. Mm-hmm. And Edmondson's out, and we don't know until when. So that's another one of your top D that's out. So they're going to have a really, really young defensive core. And you know, for the last few years defensively, they've always been able to get a decent lineup. And this year's going to be rough. Carey Price is out till maybe the end of days.
I was going to ask you what is the status of Carey Price, because I have not found anything as of recently that talks about what his status is.
Right now, reading between the lines, right now I'm thinking that, well, the word out is that his knee isn't any better. So now I think reading between the line, the conversation seems to be kind of like what was going on with Eichel. So maybe one party wants to redo the surgery. The other party doesn't really want to redo the surgery. So I don't know to what extent. And then at the same time, I mean, yeah, okay, the team's rebuilding. You know, how long do you really have? it's not, I mean, we're far from being, from seeing his first injuries with knees and hips and all of that. So my feeling is, you know, maybe if something comes up, maybe a bit next year. But otherwise, I think we're looking at the same type of situation with Shea Weber, where it's just, we'll ride out the end of his contract and that's it. It's over. You know?
And so that
leaves, I mean, this is going to be almost two full seasons.
Yeah. I was going to say that leaves Jake Allen in charge in between the pipes. And then you have young kids that are backing up Jake Allen. Is there any bright spot to the goaltending situation in Montreal?
Well, they got Jake Allen to sign an extension. So that's like better part. But again, I mean, Jake Allen's a good goaltender, but he got to split his job at least in half. Mm-hmm. He's shown in the past, even when he played in St. Louis, if he's playing over 40 games or so, he's not the same goaltender. He gets tired, and I mean, and it's fine. I mean, most good teams nowadays have to rely on two good goaltenders. So,
yep,
there's no issue there. But that means you got to have a solid backup, and we're far from that. I mean, Sam Montembeault, he's doing okay. My disappointment is with Caden Primo, because he's been talked for a long time about being the follow-up to Price, the backup to Price, to eventually replace Price. And last year, every time they called him up, it didn't look good, and he was okay with the farm team, but you know, he doesn't seem to be dominating as much as he should to at least guarantee himself a spot as a backup. Not this year anyways, and probably not next year as well. So, and like I said, I mean, the whole back end, the defense of the goaltending, I don't remember the last time I saw as many question marks from Montreal.
Well, speaking of goaltending and question marks, let's talk about the Maple Leafs, shall we? What?
Oh, sorry. I had a late supper.
What is going on in Toronto that you won't give? Look, I mean, maybe Jake Campbell didn't have the best season, but he's got a lot of potential. He's got a lot of potentials, I believe. And you don't sign him. He wants $5 or $6 million. You're like, no, we'll go with Matt Murray. And what planet is Matt Murray, the goaltender you hitch your wagon to when you're a team that's on in the hot seat? Let's just be honest. Matt Murray has won some Stanley Cups, fine. But as it's been proven over the last couple of seasons, he can't stay healthy. So you go out and get him.
Well, he even had a stint in Belleville.
Yeah.
For a little while, he was with the Ottawa farm team. He wasn't, and not because they were trying to get him back in shape after an injury. He was sent on waivers. Nobody picked him up, and they sent him to the farm team.
Yeah, well, and then Toronto has, of course, Ilya Samsonov, who also has not been a stellar goaltender in Washington. What are they doing? I know you're loving it, but I mean, seriously, like, what are they thinking?
I mean, goaltending seems to have been their scapegoat. I mean, Freddie Anderson's a pretty decent goaltender, and then he ends up in Carolina where they have a much better defensive unit than Toronto, and all of a sudden he's like a great goaltender. He was already pretty decent. I mean, I think he was questionable under pressure, but again, you know, if you have a defensive core that has so many holes, it puts even more pressure on him as a goaltender. So maybe that was it. But, and the same with Campbell. Campbell, I mean, nobody expected Campbell to ever be that good. He got pretty freaking good. But again, I mean, their defensive core did not change. So you're looking at a goaltender who's a decent goaltender, but is it the pressure or is it really just your six guys in front of him who aren't doing the job? I feel like with Matt Murray, because it's just a crapshoot, it's like, we don't know. Maybe we'll see the Matt Murray that we saw with Pittsburgh, but maybe you'll see the Matt Murray we saw over the last two, three seasons. So at least then, if they fail, well, we have a reason. We took a chance on this guy. Yeah, well, you got rid of two other guys that are really good, and now you're being squeezed with the cap space because you got four guys up front that are just taking so much of it. Again, as you say, I'm enjoying it. It's fine with me. Go ahead, do that, but. You know, I don't see how a team at that point where, I mean, maybe the whole situation with the Coyotes now that they're playing in like a 4,000-seater is different, but there is this looming threat of Matthews leaving at the end of his contract and not re-signing with Toronto. So, I mean, your window is threatened at this point, and you're going to take a chance in net? I don't know.
Like I said, I feel – Like last year, I stated that I felt at the beginning of the season that the Edmonton Oilers were on the hot seat. I think Toronto's on the hot seat this year. If they don't make it past the first round, I think the heads are going to roll, and I have a feeling that Tavares is going to be looking for another place to ply his trade, and maybe Marner, or maybe who's the other one? Nylander. I'm not so sure they move Auston Matthews, but I mean, he may not even be safe.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think the first heads that are going to roll is going to be in the front office. I don't know, man. I mean, Nylander is always questionable in the playoffs. He had an okay playoffs last year. I really thought they were going to break up the core when Seth Jones was available. Mm-hmm. I really thought we were going to see a Marner versus Jones trade. For some reason, I was convinced we were going to see that. Marner would answer so many questions, would fill in so many holes that the Blue Jackets had, and Jones would have been a perfect fit in Toronto. And I don't know if they tried and it never worked out or anything, but you're just looking at where all the spotlight was on Marner because he had really bad playoffs. And at the other end, you're looking at Seth Jones wanting to leave. It's like, guys, your teams, I mean, I'm sure you can figure it out. You both of you need these players. And it never came through. So that's when I thought it was really going to explode. By this point, I don't know. I mean, unless they change people in front of office, I think it's a do or die situation with those guys.
So far in the preseason, Matt Murray has done well. He's had a pretty decent go of it so far. Again, with a little asterisk, it is preseason, meaning that you may not be seeing the best of the best, you know, given the situations that, you know, you obviously preseason don't play your best players for fear of them getting injured or whatnot. And maybe you're trying out some of the new kids from the AHL and whatnot, but it's either going to be a spectacular success for Toronto or an epic failure. I don't think there's any middle room for them.
No, I'm hoping for the latter, but yeah, no, I don't think so. And now with the Blue Jays that just got eliminated last night, I mean, there's sort of a running gag apparently around Toronto that no, it wasn't the Blue Jays playing last night. It was the Toronto Maple Leafs that blew it. So
I think I saw something on Twitter where at some game in like last year or whatnot, Auston Matthews threw out the first pitch and the caption read, "He gave us the curse." So
That could be it. Oh, yeah.
Well, let's talk about where Jack Campbell went. He went to the Edmonton Oilers, who, you know, Mikko Koskinen went overseas to go play. Is Mike Smith retired or not? That I don't know what his status is.
It seems to look a lot like the Price situation.
Okay.
But the difference is I think he only has 1 year left. He was pretty banged up at the end of the season, so it seems like he's on the roster, but doubtful that he'll play.
Well, when you have Jack Campbell and Stuart Skinner now, I mean, is Mike Smith even needed in Edmonton? I think this is a huge upgrade. I think this might be, and I think you might disagree with me, Luke, but I think this might be the final piece of the puzzle that gets Edmonton over the hump. They now have a guy or a kid, because he's not that old, who's a pretty solid goaltender, as we said. Maybe hasn't had the best experience in Toronto, but previously I think he was with LA, wasn't he? Los Angeles, I believe.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah. So
but he was almost third wheel over there.
Yes, he was. Correct. Yes, he was. Yeah. But you know, he's got some potential. I think personally, I think this is it. If they can just make sure that the defense plays a little bit better, and I feel like with maybe Cody Ceci and with bringing back Brett Kulak, adding in maybe if Darnell Nurse can play a little more defense instead of offense, that they might have a shot to do some damage down the road in the spring.
Yeah, the fun thing about that move with Campbell is that you're getting a goaltender who played on a team that had a similar style as yours for a couple of years. So, you know, he's used to seeing a few too many odd man rushes. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, he's not going to buckle under pressure from that. He's seen it enough in Toronto. But, yeah, I mean, defensively, I think that they're at a point where at the deadline they could add just a couple of pieces just to go a bit further. But even then, I mean, they need a bit more, I wouldn't say offense, but they need more people delivering on the offensive. Because, I mean, I think in the playoffs, between David and Dreisaitl, I think they had like 51% of the goals scored or something mm-hmm. like that. Mm-hmm. Between those two. I mean, I get the two-headed monster thing, but they're not playing the whole 60 minutes. So you really got to get some secondary scoring in there.
True, very much so. And, you know, you mentioned something real quickly, and this was something I jotted down in my notes. You talk about defensive scoring. I was very surprised by PK Subban's retirement. I felt like there was a team like Edmonton, for an example, that could say, hey, $1.5 million, you want to come be number five, number six on the depth chart? You can chip in a little bit and whatnot. I was very surprised that a team did not snag PK Subban.
I was a little surprised, too. I mean, over the last few years, I think he's been dealing with back issues. So we probably figured, you know, screw it. Mm-hmm. Once you mess up your back, I mean, it's over, right? You're going to have to deal with that pain for the rest of your life. And I mean, his last contract was almost $10 million a year. So I guess he figured. I think he's got a regular stint on is it the NHL Network or ESPN or something like that.
Funny, I just heard a couple of weeks ago that yes, that the back issue was a major consideration, and also I guess ESPN offered him his own show, like kind of like Peyton Manning has. Yeah, kind of like how Peyton Manning has it for I think, what is NBC or Fox? I can't remember what. But Peyton Manning has his own show, and so they're kind of duplicating it, but it's going to be hockey-oriented, and he was going to be the host of it. So it kind of worked out for him, you know.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great spot because, I mean, he's a fun character.
Yeah, you know what I mean? He has personality.
He's entertaining, exactly, you know. So I think that's a nice fit for him. And, I mean, he had a decent career. Won the
absolutely
trophy, and I mean he would have been nice, it would have been a bit longer, but he was the cornerstone for the Montreal defense for a couple of years, same when he got to Nashville, but over there at least he was able to share it with Yossi a bit, but mm-hmm. No, I mean it's a nice career, and yeah, no, he's earned it. And again, I mean, if it's back issues, so it's one of those things. It's like, oh, knee issues, I'll play through it. You know, ankle issues,
right.
I'll play through it. Back issues, oh, man, you've done good. Sorry, stay home.
Yeah, I mean, you think about, you know, David Clarkson, Horton in Boston, and then came to Columbus, and he was all messed up. That the back goes, you're done. You know, I think that's just common sense. So, well, let's talk about my team, the Pittsburgh Penguins. I got to say, I think that the Penguins have decided that after getting everything taken care of this summer with Malkin and Letang signing them up, as well as Brian Rust, I think it's the status quo, I think, is the best descriptor of the Pittsburgh Penguins. The status quo until those three, including Crosby, retire. That's what we're in. We're a holding pattern for right now, I think. I was very, very questionable about letting Mike Matheson go. I was even more somewhat upset about the fact that John Marino got shipped out to New Jersey. I feel like those two. Yeah, I think those two were defensemen you could build around. And I fear that the Pens are thinking of the here and now and not thinking, hey, in 3 or 4 years, the cornerstones are going to be gone. Who can we bring in now to start grooming to be the next heir apparent? And I just fear that that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, and really benefit from those three guys' experience.
Correct.
Which is something that I feel like a lot of teams are just pushing aside. I mean, you should keep a couple of veterans. I mean, they've seen it all, especially those three guys. I mean, they won three cups.
Yeah.
I think you could, like, keep them around and teach the new guys coming in and use that. But I think the big issue with Pittsburgh, I mean, they traded away so much for so many years at the trade deadline to just keep it in and give a lot away to get some rentals, and that hurt them a lot in the long run.
Well, as long as they
don't fall into the same spot as the Philadelphia Flyers, there should be all right. But I mean, it's for the next few years, it's looking lukewarm.
Yeah, and I definitely think this year, as you said, I think they're going to be that team that is on the cusp. They're probably going to make the playoffs, but they're just going to eke in. Can they get past the first round, which obviously has been a problem in the last couple of seasons? Defensively, Jan Ruda coming on board, I like that. Again, that veteran presence. There is a couple of young kids like P.O. Joseph down in Wilkes-Barre that's a great defenseman. So you bring in a veteran to kind of show the ropes. I just grimaced at Jeff Petrie. I know he was the hero for Montreal a few years ago, but I'm like, the man is what
– If you have a happy Petrie, you'll be okay.
Okay.
But he is getting older. You're still gonna get some decent defensive work from him. You're gonna get that really good first pass to get out of the zone, but he's not following up on the offense as much as he used to. But yeah, last year was that good of a by January, it's like, I want out. Well, okay, but, I mean, we're not going to trade you for anything, so we're going to have to
wait.
Is
he, what, 36, 37? Is he in the late 30s, or is he younger?
He's got to be coming up on that. Maybe a little younger. I'm thinking maybe 32, 33. I might be wrong. He's in his 30s, but – so, yeah, I mean, he still has some decent hockey in him, and it's not the kind of player that was out long-term with injuries or anything like that as well. So, you know, he's fairly healthy. But yeah, I mean, the same. But this, I get the idea. I mean, Matheson is probably not as good as a defenseman, but he's younger, so you do have some potential there to work with. Whereas Petrie, at this point, is what you see is what you get. He's not going to get any better.
Right. Exactly. So, that's where you know. But again, status quo. That's what I'm going to call it, because I feel like that's just where the Pens want to be. You know, till the big three move on, and then we'll see what we have. And I don't know. I just think that it would be wise to start thinking about who can we draft in these next couple of years that could come in and make an impact, like a Crosby, like a Malkin, like a Letang, and foster that individual. But we shall see. Let's talk about some teams that might be on your list of most improved. Who do you think has improved the most over the offseason, Luke?
Ottawa?
Ottawa's on that list. I think, yeah, you know what?
I mean, the Brinkat, just the Brinkat right off the bat. You're like, wait, what? You know, I mean, their offense is just going to explode right off of that.
And don't forget about Claude Giroux.
Exactly. And again, I mean, you're bringing in a veteran that still has some decent hockey, and I think he's going to be a really nice fit with Norris, just teaching typical, you know, just centerman stuff and, like, be a bit more responsible defensively without sacrificing offensively. I mean, that's a great move they made there. And again, I mean, the Brinkat, I mean, and you still have now, you got Tkachuk locked down for quite a few years. Norris is playing some good hockey. If Stutzla can stay on his skates, you got a really good player there. If Shabbat can stay healthy, you got a really solid defensive there too. I mean, I think defensively is probably where the question mark is. But I mean, they made a huge step. They went from being considered in the bottom of the league to you know what? They're playoff contenders here.
I believe that. I 100% believe it. I think I agree with you in that the defense is a little shaky. I think the goaltending's okay. I think Cam Talbot's serviceable. I think he can steal some games for you. Anton Forsberg is not a bad backup either. So I think that's good. I agree. I think that in the Atlantic, they are going to be one of the teams that I think the other teams are going to have to keep in the rearview mirror. They're going to keep looking back. Boston, another team that I think is the status quo. I think they're going to be really, really, really sweating with the Senators, especially if they go on 3, 4, 5, 6 game runs through the season.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, you mentioned the Atlantic Division. I mean, you still have to deal with Florida and Tampa Bay. Most likely going to be juggernauts again this year. Mm-hmm. So, it's gonna be a tough that number three spot there. It's gonna be a tough fight.
And let's not count out the Detroit Red Wings, because they have improved a lot. Brand new coach in Lalonde, who comes from the John Cooper School of coaching. Right, he was a Tampa Bay guy, if I remember correctly. You know, they added Villiuso in goaltending. They added a few other key players. You know, if Seider continues to develop like he did this past year, you have now Detroit as well for those teams like Boston who are there and like, oh, shit, we better.
That really looked like Steve Yzerman's done, you know, the homework's done now. The analysis is done. Now it's time to work.
Yes.
It's just like, since he's been there, there's nothing much happening. And then this summer, just like, boom, we're going to go get this guy and this guy. And not necessarily top guys, but really effective players. So we're going to start with that. And eventually they're going to be adding on.
Yeah.
So, it was a Steve Yzerman summer. Just like putting a lot of little pieces in place. And then we'll see where we go from there.
Yeah. I mean, I think that there's going to be some, and I wouldn't even say, look, I would say Florida and Tampa, they might be juggernauts, but they also have to start recognizing that Ottawa and Detroit are not going to be doormats.
Yeah, no. The Eastern Conference is looking a lot more serious than it did a couple of years ago. Everything was always in the West and the West and the West. Right now, I mean, I think a lot of teams are okay, you're going to tank, fine, but rebuild properly and then use it and actually do something with it and don't. I mean, is it the NHL 23 standings came out?
Yes.
Potential standings for this year.
Yeah.
And I laughed so hard when I saw that Montreal was over Buffalo. Just picking on Buffalo. But yeah, I mean, at least they're doing something, and it's going to be really interesting to see those teams go. And like you said, I mean, Boston, they're going to need a lot of gas in the tank to try to keep up with those guys.
Right. And I just feel like they got back Krejci. They got, you know, Bergeron's coming back. But those guys are getting older. And you know, Pastrnak is, I think, in the last year of his contract. Is he a UFA, I believe, at the end of this year? Maybe it's next year. Maybe he's an RFA.
I think that's why we're able to convince Krejci and try to get some of the, you know, the top guys from the past few years back together for one last time. So I think that might be it. And Bergeron only signed for 1 year, if I'm not mistaken.
Correct.
So, I think it's just like try to give the people what they want, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and I don't see Pavel Zacha doing much to change, you know, the score sheet up there in Boston either.
No. He was more of a defensive guy, anyways. But yeah, yep. It's all going to be on the usual suspects. And I mean, they're past their prime. Not that they're not good players anymore, but I mean, holding up an 82-game season and then trying to make a decent run in the playoffs. Even goaltending, big question. They weren't so bad last year in goaltending. Mm-hmm. They still have the same question this year because they didn't really make any changes in that department. So, we'll see. But again, it's, you know, last run for the fans, and figure, it's all right. At least you're giving something. At least they're going to get to see something. I mean, same thing in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you're not looking at a good season, but I mean, the last couple of chances, if you want to see Malkin, Crosby, Letang play, I mean, I think it's nice that they were able to keep them together, because a lot of times it's just like, you know, get rid of everybody and not really care. And
yep.
There's a bit of recognition there, which is nice.
Well, let's talk about the last two teams in the East that I wanted to talk about real quick. And you talked about, you know, how the East is now being strengthened, in your opinion. You got to think about the Hurricanes and the Rangers. I mean, the Rangers didn't do a lot other than they did get rid of Gorgiev, who went out to Colorado. But they kind of kept everything kind of the same, which is good if they have another great year like they did last year.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a really test year.
Yep.
You know, what was last year a fluke? Are we really like heading in the right direction? It's the fun thing for them, if they are heading in the right direction, I mean, their core is really young.
Yep.
So if everything does work out, and this really wasn't just a fluke last year, well, you're in for a couple of good years of hockey there.
Absolutely.
So I get that they're testing it out. And at the same time, I mean, a couple of years ago, they told their fans, you know, we're rebuilding. We'll see what happens. Turns out it happened a bit faster. You know, is it really working? Yes. All right, cool. Everybody's going to be happy. If it doesn't, well, you know, we told you we're trying some stuff out. So, but I mean, at least they're trying stuff and they're testing their guys out. I mean, unlike the Islanders, where it's just like, I don't quite understand what Lamoriello's doing there right now. But yeah, I mean, and the Hurricanes, I mean, they still have a decent team. So they got Brett Burns, who had a really good preseason.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe if he doesn't have to take care of his defensive play as much as he had to in San Jose, which really isn't one of his strengths.
Mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, you're probably going to get a bit more out of Brent Burns than the Sharks were getting from him in the last few years.
Well,
I mean, they have Kotkaniemi, so they'll be fine, right?
Yeah. No, I think that they are a team that's really going to push the envelope in the Metro. I still think that the Rangers, I got this feeling that I think, Luke, the Rangers are going to still be number one in the Metro. I think that last year, I know a lot of people said, well, it's a fluke. I'm not so sold on that. I think it was, as you said, they came along a little bit faster than what they anticipated. And good for them. I mean, they certainly, you know, prove that they are a good, solid hockey team. I mean, Adam Fox had a massive year. So did their other defenseman. Yeah. Who was the other defenseman? I can't remember. Not Lindholm. I can't remember who I was trying to think of. I want to say it's Ryan Lindholm, but I don't think that that's correct, because I'm thinking Elias Lindholm in Calgary.
Is it the Lindholm that played in Anaheim?
I'm looking this up. Hold on. I want to see. That's making me mad. Because they talked about him. He got back. Ryan Lindgren. That's who it was.
Lindgren. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no. Lindholm. The other Lindholm was the guy who played in Dallas, I believe, and he is now in Boston.
Okay.
I think that's the one. And they locked him up for a long time and a lot of money. And a lot of people were like, I think that's too much money.
Yes. Yeah, okay. So Lindgren. Ryan Lindgren was who I was thinking of. I knew there was another young defenseman that he got bashed up in the game in the series with Pittsburgh, and he kept playing even though he was all banged up and everything. Okay, there we go. Better late than never, folks. So as we start to wrap things up here, Luke, I'm gonna ask, as I do every single time that we do this, you have any early Stanley Cup picks?
Oh, for the West, I mean, the Hart's going to go with the Oilers. I think they're overdue, and they have been putting in a lot of work in the last few years. So it's not, you know, it wouldn't just be like, oh, it just suddenly happened. I mean, they're really gunning for it. Colorado, I'm curious to see what's gonna happen. They did lose a couple of good pieces in there. Kadri's gone. I mean, that was a solid third centerman.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they still have Cale Makar. They still have Nathan MacKinnon. They still have Landis. I mean, the list goes on and on. But my heart, yeah. I mean, I think the mind's with the brain's with Colorado, but the heart's with Edmonton.
Okay.
And in the East, I mean, like you said, there's so many good teams in the East. It's really hard to pick one. I can't pick Carolina because I'm still pissed off at what they did. So. Honestly, Florida. I wouldn't be surprised with Florida if they get their defensive units together, because they did lose a decent defenseman with Uyghur.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, depends on if Bobrovsky can have a good year in net. But they do have Spencer Knight.
Yes,
Spencer Knight, who's been playing great. So they have some, you know, they have some potentially solid goaltending there. So yeah, why the hell not Florida? Smoked last year, and I think they got pissed. So
yeah. You know what? I'm sticking in the East with he who has had the most success over the last many years. I'm going to stick with Tampa Bay. I think even though they lost Andre Palat, I think they still have a pretty and Jan Ruda as well. I still think they have a pretty good core there and excellent coaching. I mean, you can't say a bad thing about John Cooper. I don't think so. I think the man's done a fantastic job in his many years in Tampa. And I agree with you. I think this is the year for the Oilers. I think they, as I said earlier on, I think they have all the pieces in place. If they can just tighten up on defense and have their defense actually play defense to eliminate some of those odd man rushes and to eliminate some of those errors, I think Edmonton could very well be a very strong contender.
Yeah, they just they really have to get like their core game going. You can't expect to win a Stanley Cup nowadays with like just rely on offense or rely on defense. I mean, you have to rely on your whole lineup or else you're not going to make it. You're not going to make it past the second round. And if you do, seriously, you got lucky. So if you want to go all the way, I mean, you got to be solid all the way through your lineup, and even more so because eventually you're going to get injuries and whatnot. So you got to have some solid, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh defenseman coming in, and the same with your forwards. I mean, you got to have a solid top 12, and you got to have a good 13, a good 14 to back you up. So it's They still have a lot of work to do, but I think if there's a team that can make it, and they got a good taste of it last year, the Oilers. Yeah.
The only thing that always spoils these predictions is injuries, and hopefully, hopefully our picks will not suffer the injury bug.
A couple of weeks ago with one of my buddies, and we were talking about some of the good years that Montreal Canadiens had over the last like 12 or 15 years or so. It's like, oh, you remember that year? It's like, yeah. Who got injured? And they're like, oh, well, almost nobody. You know, like their defensive unit stayed intact for most of the year. You know, the goaltending was healthy. The forwards, you know, a couple of guys in and out here and there, but nothing like, oh, we're going to lose this guy for 6 or 8 weeks, or we're going to lose this guy for a month, or we're going to – there was none of that. And they finished number one in the East. You're like, okay, so that's the worst. If you don't get the injury bug, even if you have like a regular team, you're going to be able to make some damage in the to do some damage in the season. Come playoff time, that's a whole different thing. But I mean, that's the secret. Mm-hmm. You got to stay healthy. You got to And then absolutely. I think that partly comes down to the coaching as well. I mean, if you have to gun your guys, because by January you realize that we're in a bad spot. Well, I mean, come April, they're going to be done. It's over.
Yep.
They're out of gas.
Well, Luke, do you want to talk about some of the projects you got going on? Is the podcast back up and rolling, or is it coming out here in the next week or so?
We're going to have to check that. We've been we've all been way, way busy. My co-host got a new job during our season last year.
Okay.
So he's real happy about that, but it's he's got a lot of hours going, and on my side, I just picked up a VP position at the local hockey association, which is fun. I mean, it's for development and everything, but at the same time, I'm more and more realizing like, oh man, I really have time to do this, plus the coaching, plus the which was a whole different thing this year as well with the coaching. I'm going to throw that out to you. Maybe you know, we have a lot of school programs that include hockey. And particularly in our area, I feel like there's way too much of it. So the kids go into the school programs, which means like local hockey has a harder time getting good players because everybody's trying to go more for the school programs. And it really hurts because those programs start first year of high school. Okay. Now this year I'm coaching Pee Wee, which is like that transition year. So I have a couple of guys who are in sixth grade and a couple of guys who are starting high school the next year. You know if that's just an issue in your area where you get to that pivotal point and like it really hits hard. Really hits hard.
Luke, I will be 100% honest. I would have to do some research. I don't know off the top of my head. I really don't. Yeah,
at least it's not enough of an issue that it's all out there. So that might be a good sign.
Yeah,
it's really something we've been looking at. It's like, whoa, and not to mention like. And I just read an article from it's from the Atlantic provinces. I can't remember if it was New Brunswick or Nova Scotia. But goaltenders, harder and harder to get goaltenders. It used to be mostly like midget hockey or bantam hockey, but now they're having a hard time getting goaltenders, even Pee Wee and Adam.
Wow.
So, interesting situation. So, all that to say, that is now on my plate as part of development in the hockey association. So I mean, the podcast would be fun. I have this this podcast that I work on, which is called the Nada PR School. She does two versions, one in French, one in English. If you want to check it out, it's about PR. It's like quick little 10 minutes, and I'm trying to get her maybe to do an interview to try to see if there are things that teams could change. Because like Calgary, you want to, you know, your good players want to get out of the your city. You know, you drafted these guys, you worked with these guys, and now they want out. Is it a PR issue? Is there something? There's always this discussion that good players don't want to go play in Canada because of the taxes and this and that, and then you read something from an economist and he's like, well, that's just not true. You just need to know how to do your taxes right and how to do this and that right. And so I want to get her on, but at the same time, if I'm not having a podcast, I can't get her on the show. And I want to have, you know, really the view of somebody who works in that. It's like, you know, say this is the issue in your company. What can you do? So we want to get it back, but at the same time, and it's really hard finding the time. And you know this. I mean, it's hard trying to find time with everything you want to do, and then edit the shows and then put them out. And then it's
oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're preaching to the choir on that one, as the old saying down here goes. You're absolutely speaking truth, you know. But you know what? I'll keep my ears out, and because for me, I wish I had an answer for you about the problems that, you know, the lack of goaltending and kids going into the school programs. I'm kind of, because I've been out of playing rec league, I'm out of that like bubble where I hear all the gossip and the news and whatnot from the high schools, because of the guys I would play with have kids in the programs and whatnot. So, but if I hear anything, I'll let you know. So
yeah, sorry to put that out there. I was just like, I'd like to get a perspective from, you know, I mean, you're farther away than from figured out. It's like, what's going on around Columbus? You know, what's going on?
Well, hey,
is it everywhere the same, or?
I'll throw it out there, folks. If you're hearing this and you know where to find me. Yeah, it'll be. I always tell you at the end of the episodes where you can get in touch with me. Drop me an email, shoot me a tweet, whatever. But Luke, thanks very much. Thanks very much for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. And we'll do this right around playoff time. See if some of our thoughts and opinions and insights came true.
I will see. I mean, we gave so many. Probably going to be right on one or two of them.
Yeah, we got to be, right? Law of averages. All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Luke Landry, talking about the upcoming NHL season. And I want to thank Luke for coming on and talking with me. I really do appreciate him taking some time out of his very busy schedule to chat with me. And you know what? We'll do it again come playoff time in the spring. And with that, I think it's time for me to let you know where you can get in touch with me. If you have a question, comment, if you think I'm wrong for making fun of the Arizona Coyotes all season long, I'm going to disagree with you, but whatevs, you could still express yourself. You could shoot me an email if you like. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. You could drop me a line on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is @pvdmvp. You can even leave me a note over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just search for @pvdcast. And maybe you want to let some folks know where they can hear this podcast. Well, there's a bunch of different avenues for that. Obviously, pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, is the best place to get every single episode. But they're also available through all of those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is go to the search bar in your favorite app or outlet, type in pvdcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should be able to find it. And if you want even an easier way, well, I got one for you. Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little Facebook broadcast of the week's episode, so you could catch it there if you want. So many different options, but nonetheless, please listen and please interact. Let the podcast apps and outlets and let Facebook know you love the PVD cast. How do you do that? By rating, by reviewing, by liking videos on Facebook. All of that goes into the data that these outlets look at. And it really means a lot for me, because it'll drive me up the charts. And I really would appreciate if you did indeed remember to rate and review. And also, let's throw it out there, you should subscribe too, so that way you never miss a single episode of the PVD cast. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I appreciate you listening to the episode. And I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, and stay safe and healthy. following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC. Copyright 2022.